Time check was brought to you by Stanbic Bank.
Phoenix FM.
Check, check. There we go.
106.7. Bonze.
The main news bulletin on Phoenix FM is brought to you by Absa Bank Zambia PLC. Your story matters. Absa.
The back-to-school season is upon us. We know it can be stressful. That's why Absa Bank and Bookworld are teaming up to lighten up the load. Start the new term with a win. Spend 250 kwacha or more on an Absa POS with any credit card, debit card, or mobile money wallet, and spin to win essential school supplies. From books to stationery to backpacks or calculators, Bookworld has got it all. And the best part? At the lowest prices. Visit your nearest Bookworld store countrywide. Bookworld, where education is our priority. Terms and conditions apply. Absa, your story matters.
Good afternoon. The headline: two miners killed in SOB shaft mine accident in Kitwe. Old banknotes to cease being legal tender on the 1st of April 2026. And in Global News, Museveni urges people to vote in tomorrow's general election. With the main news at 13 hours on Phoenix, I am Paddy Mugando. Two miners have died following a fatal mining accident at the SOB shaft mine in Kitwe's Wusakile Township. Copperbelt Province Police Commissioner Mwala Yuyi has confirmed the incident, which occurred yesterday at around 17:45 hours at level 3760 of the mine. Mr. Yuyi said the deceased were employees of Reliant Mines, a contractor working for Mopani Copper Mines, and have been identified as Josiah Silomba, aged 42, who was in charge of blasting operations, and Justin Mutava, aged 50, a utility vehicle operator. He explains in a statement that the accident happened while the workers were carrying out routine mining operations and that mine rescue teams managed to retrieve the bodies in the early hours of today. Mr. Yuyi says the bodies have since been deposited at Kitwe Teaching Hospital mortuary, where post-mortem examinations will be conducted while an inquiry file has been opened and investigations into the circumstances surrounding the accident are underway. Meanwhile, Mopani Copper Mines has suspended all operations at its south ore body following the death of the two miners. In a statement, Mopani Public Relations Manager Norbert Mulenga said the SOB will remain closed until further notice, adding that the mining firm is collaborating with other relevant authorities to inform the next of kin of the deceased employees and investigate the cause of the tragic accident. Political analyst Houston Chiputa has advised all political parties participating in the Chawama parliamentary by-election to accept the outcome of the polls as residents go to vote tomorrow. Dr. Chiputa says the results will purely reflect the will of the people of Chawama on who they want to represent them in parliament. He expressed satisfaction that campaigns in the area have so far been peaceful and emphasized that the same spirit should prevail even after the announcement of results as the country prepares for the August 2026 general elections. Dr. Chiputa noted that in any democratic election, there is always a winner and a loser, as only one individual can occupy a parliamentary seat in a constituency.
Elections come and go. We remain one Zambia, one nation. And so, when the outcome is eventually revealed tomorrow evening, everybody should accept that you win some, you lose others. And in the event of whichever political party or whichever grouping will win, the others who were competitors, it being a competition, there always must be a winner, and therefore they should accept that that is the will of the people, and they pick up the pieces and move on from there. And we remain a united people, a peaceful nation.
Meanwhile, peace scientist Tom Njovu has described the peaceful campaigns in Chawama as a strong demonstration of Zambia's democratic maturity, unity, and commitment to peace.
It is gratifying to actually witness the peaceful conduct of campaigns during the ongoing Chawama parliamentary by-election. This is how democracy should be practiced, through tolerance, mutual respect and peaceful engagement, rather than hostility and violence. This actually continues to position Zambia as a beacon of peace in Africa. It has actually been very heartwarming to see the ruling UPND and other political parties crossing paths during campaigns in Chawama. Such things reflect political maturity and a growing appreciation of peace as a national value.
The Center for Trade Policy and Development, CTPD, has warned that Zambia's decision not to extend the International Monetary Fund, IMF, Extended Credit Facility, ECF program, could undermine recent economic gains as the country remains vulnerable to fiscal and debt pressures. CTPD lead public finance researcher Robert Mwale says Zambia is beginning to show its first credible signs of economic recovery after years of fiscal stress and debt distress, but noted that data from the IMF country report and the Ministry of Finance indicate that exiting the program at this stage poses significant risks. Mr. Mwale has pointed out that total government expenditure rose from 25.5% of gross domestic product, GDP, in 2024 to 28% in 2025, while the cash fiscal deficit widened sharply from minus 3.3% to minus 5.3% of GDP, noting that this deterioration occurred despite the fiscal discipline imposed by the IMF program. According to Mr. Mwale, removing the IMF policy anchor in an election year heightens the risk of budget diversions, off-budget spending and weakened expenditure controls, which could erode fiscal credibility at a critical time when restraint is required. He has emphasized that Zambia is not exiting the IMF program from a position of fiscal comfort, but from one of vulnerability, stressing that in an election year, the extended credit facility should be viewed as a safeguard rather than a constraint.
The more concerning is our debt sustainability. What we've noted is that our public debt has actually dramatically fallen from 123.3% of our GDP to around 91 thereabout of our GDP, indicating that we are actually doing fine in the country. But now when we are exiting this program, what we're going to note is that these gains that we've enjoyed as a country may actually be unwinded, and so there's a high risk that as a country these gains may actually be reversed because of us exiting the program at a moment like this one.
The wife of former Seed Control and Certification Institute director Francis Miti and two traditional doctors have pleaded not guilty to a charge of murder before the Lusaka High Court. When the matter came up before High Court Judge Geoffrey Mulenga, the accused, 55-year-old Mayor Masumba Miti, a former Ministry of Agriculture secretary based at Mount Makulu in Chilanga District, 43-year-old Florence Banda, a herbalist from Matero, and 50-year-old Yamikani Banda, a farmer and herbalist from Chipata, denied the charge. It is alleged that the three, acting together in Chilanga, killed Mr. Miti on the 23rd of August 2024. Mr. Miti reportedly sustained injuries during an alleged break-in at his home and later died at the University Teaching Hospital, UTH, the same afternoon. The trio faced one count of murder, contrary to Section 200 of the Penal Code, and were committed to the High Court by Lusaka Chief Resident Magistrate Davis Chiwili on the 20th of August last year. Trial in the matter is scheduled to commence next Monday. In global news, thousands of people have attended Ugandan President Yoweri Museveni's final campaign rally in the capital Kampala ahead of tomorrow's general election. The 81-year-old leader of the National Resistance Movement Party, who has ruled the country since 1986, is seeking a seventh term in office. In his closing address, Museveni encouraged his supporters to vote, adding that any interference would be crushed. We monitored the BBC for other global stories.
A court in Tunisia has ordered the release of a journalist after reducing her sentence from 5 years to two. Shafa El Hajj Mubarak was jailed in a case involving politicians and media figures accused of conspiracy and financial crimes, charges she denied. China has announced the largest annual trade surplus in history, despite Mr. Trump's tariff war. Beijing says it sold nearly $1.2 trillion more in goods and services than it imported last year. Thai police say at least 22 people have been killed after a construction crane collapsed onto a moving train northeast of Bangkok.